let the flowing seas arise and fill the lofty sky. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show today. It's called God's Word Made Plain, and I'm going to be talking about one of the lost things that are mentioned in Luke chapter 15 today. So if you have a Bible handy, turn to Luke 15, and I want to read a couple of verses, beginning in verse 4. We're going to, you might know that Luke 15 is a kind of a parable chapter. There are three significant parables there. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son, which is not said to be a parable. The others are said to be parables. The lost son is an actual story. But I want to talk to you today about the lost sheep, because I've discovered something I want to share with you today. And I'm going to do something I normally don't do. And that is, I'm going to read something to you, which is going to form the bulk of my message to you today. Something that I saw yesterday. Actually, on social media, somebody brought it to my attention. I looked at it. I realized that it was a rather significant presentation, and my job is to try to get information across to you that will touch your heart, that will move you to love Jesus more and to understand a little bit more about Him. And this accomplishes that. It may not be original with me, but it is important. And my job is to be the guy who brings you important information. So, that's what I'm going to do today. In Luke 15, verse 4, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." So, a lot of times people read that parable and they don't quite understand it, and they think to themselves, you know, what kind of a shepherd would leave 99 sheep by themselves while he goes and finds one that's lost? Practically speaking, we see that as kind of an odd thing to do. But what Jesus is trying to get across here is that the 99 sheep that remained were safe. They were seen. He saw to it that they were safe. But he's after this one sheep that's lost. And that story has a very great deal of importance for you and me. We should be very, very glad that story shows up in your Bible, that Jesus saw fit to relate it to you and I, because it has tremendous importance for you individually and for me individually. Let me now take the time to read what I found, and it'll serve as the basis for what I want to present today. And I'm quoting now. It says, "There is something about the story of the lost sheep that becomes almost overwhelming once you truly see it. Jesus says a shepherd leaves the 99 to go after one sheep that wandered away. Most people picture this as soft and gentle, a clean little lamb carried peacefully home. But that is not the reality Jesus was describing. Lost sheep are filthy. They fall into mud, They get tangled in thorns. They become covered in dirt, sweat, and their own mess. And the longer they're lost, the worse it gets. A sheep cannot rescue itself. Once trapped, exhausted, or injured, it becomes completely dependent on the shepherd to come and find it. That, folks, is humanity. That represents you and me, people. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every person has wandered. Every person has become stuck in places they could not escape on their own. And this is when the story becomes breathtaking. When the shepherd finds the sheep, he does not punish it. He does not lecture it. He does not force it to clean itself first. He lifts it up. Jesus says the shepherd places the sheep on his shoulders and carries it home rejoicing. Think about that image carefully. The dirtiest parts of the sheep would rest against the shepherd's neck and face. The mud, the smell, the filth, the weight. The shepherd willingly carries all of it. And that is exactly what Jesus did at the cross. He did not save humanity from a distance. He stepped directly into the mess. The shame people try to hide, the guilt people cannot erase, the weight people were never meant to carry alone. Jesus took it upon himself willingly. Scripture says, he became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The shepherd carried the sheep. The holy carried the unclean. The spotless carried the stained. The sinless carried the sinful. And he did not do it reluctantly. He rejoiced. That may be the most beautiful part of the entire parable. Jesus does not describe the shepherd dragging the sheep home in frustration. He describes celebration, joy, love. The shepherd is glad to carry what the sheep could not. Religion says, clean yourself up and then come back. Jesus says, I will carry you home by myself. Religion says, your mess disqualifies you. Jesus says, your need is exactly why he came. That is the gospel. You are not saved because you stayed clean. You are saved because the shepherd came for you. You're not held together by your strength. You're held by his shoulders. And maybe somebody reading this needs to hear this today. God is not exhausted by your weakness. He is not repelled by your wounds. He is not waiting for a polished version of you before he draws near. He already carried the worst of it to the cross. The nails prove that. So stop hiding from the shepherd who already knows where he wandered. Let him carry you. Because the heart of God has never been about finding. The heart of God has never been about finding perfect sheep. It has always been about bringing lost ones home. And so, Luke 15 takes on a little different meaning. We're like sheep. Jesus compares us to sheep. And it makes me sort of giggle because it's not a very kind comparison if you know anything about sheep. Sheep aren't the smartest animals. They're not the sharpest pencil in the box. They're defenseless. Basically, the only form of defense they have is to run. They don't have sharp claws or sharp teeth or, you know, a stinger in their tail. You know, they're pretty much helpless, and they're just not real smart. They if they can get into trouble, they often do. Jesus compares you and I to sheep. And if you think about it and you're honest about it, that's probably the right comparison. But you know what? Jesus loves us anyway. He loves us. He knows we're prone to sin. He knows we're going to get in a mess. He knows we get in trouble. He knows we do things on purpose, knowing that they're wrong. We do them anyway. We have been taught in churches and in the Old Testament, which no longer applies to us, that he's mad at us and he's looking to punish us. And that's just wrong. That's not right. You have to learn, please learn, that the Old Testament is the Old Testament. Everything changed when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, and it's all different in the New Testament. Back in the Old Testament, it was. If you did wrong, God often punished you. You suffered curses. If you did right, you suffered blessing. You reaped blessing. You enjoyed blessing. But we're not in the Old Testament. It's not like that anymore. We live in something called the Age of Grace. We live in a time when God has died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, all of them. All sins. Colossians 2:13. Look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. He forgives you all trespasses, all sins. All are forgiven, past, present, and future. Which doesn't mean you can go out and sin like crazy because they're forgiven, but it means that he gets it. You're a sheep. You're not the sharpest pencil going. And you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to do things wrong. And your only hope is him. And praise the Lord, he's looking for you. He's searching for you. And when he finds you, he's going to throw you up on his shoulders. And filth, dirty, sin, everything along with it. And carry you home. And he's going to do so rejoicing, it says. Rejoicing. Happy. Full of love, full of gladness, because he's found you. He'll take care of it. He's already taken care of your sin. You trust him as your Savior. You'll be his child, fully forgiven child, part of his family, even part of his body forever. The parable of the lost sheep is a tremendous story, very meaningful story. And it applies to you, and it applies to me, and to every other person we know. Thank God for Jesus loving us, even though we are lost sheep. That's my message for you today. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate any prayers you give to this preacher or this radio station. We can use it. We appreciate it. We love you, and we're planning to see you next week, Lord willing.